Benny Hinn's favorite radio personality, broadcasting legend, Drew Marshall.
Ladies and gentlemen, live in studio, the one and only Paul Young. Have a listen to him. I love this song. It's one of my favorite Paul Young songs, and I dedicate this line to Paul Young. Every time you go away, you take a piece of Drew.
Take a piece of me with Drew.
Can't hear you. The music's too loud.
Take a piece of me with Drew.
Stop it.
That's a word.
Ladies and gentlemen, like a recurring nightmare, Paul Young is back in the studio.
Hey, Drew, it's so good to see you, mate. You wanker.
Wrong Paul Young. Sorry.
Sorry.
Start again. Ladies and gentlemen, this gentleman wrote a book a little while ago. It's called A Shack. Here, it's a good read. And then he followed it up with another fantastic little number called Crossroads, which starred Ralph Macchio.
Did you ever see that? He's a guitar player.
Yeah. It's a great song about it, too.
Steve Vai. Paul, welcome back, young man. How many days a year are you on the road?
It kind of comes in waves. And right now it's a pretty intense wave for through the middle of November. Then it's lightens up a bit. So, you know, I'm probably right now about 70%. And then this summer I was about 40%. So,
which segues naturally into how are things with Kim?
They are the best they've ever been.
Really?
Absolutely.
That's because you're
most
away
for the time. I knew that was coming. So actually, she and I are doing awesome, and we have our seventh grandchild.
Wow!
Little Maisie came from Uganda 4 weeks ago, and quite a story. Took Andrew 8 weeks to get her out.
Wow.
Of Uganda.
So you stole one from Angelina?
Yeah, exactly. She's a little north of northwest of us, but yeah. So we've got a seventh grandchild. Our fourth of our six kids got married in our backyard the night before Maisie and Andrew got home. So it's been quite a summer.
Do you remember the last time I had you on the show? It wasn't that long ago, actually. It was just in the summer, I think.
Phone call.
Yeah, and the most awkward question I've ever asked anybody was this man. And I thought, it's Paul. Come on. He's hated me for less. So I think I asked you how much money you have. Do you remember that?
Yeah, and I told you to ask him. Man, I don't even get cash very often.
A pittance, an allowance.
Yeah.
Here you go, Paul. Would you say that if you could do it again, would you want to arrive at the spot you're at now in life through the shack or another way?
Wow.
That was a good question, wasn't it?
It was a mythological one.
It's like, what are you talking about?
Yeah, it's like it's got two layers and neither of them made any sense.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You've just described the Drew Marshall Show in one sentence.
You know, that's kind of like saying, do you have any regrets? And would you change anything if you knew it got you here from there?
Well, why don't you just rephrase my question?
Thank you. I'm trying to make some sense out of it, brother.
He's the writer, remember, Drew.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, really, I'm an interpreter. So, and it's all fiction anyway.
Mm-hmm.
I would go back and change an awful lot of things if I could, right? Because you hurt people, and you just, if I could get here without doing the kind of damage I did, I would.
What do you mean damage you did?
Oh, I betrayed Kim. I had a whole way of dealing with perfectionism that was shame-based, you know? I had my addictions. Yeah, I'd change all that if I could. And it spills out into your relationships and the people that you care about. And, you know, but you look back and you say, all right, well, this is the road it took. And I'm grateful for that. And I'm grateful to be where I'm at. But, no, I'd change all kinds of things if I could.
Can we talk about, well, let me throw this out there. This just came to me. Just came to me, folks.
This is a first?
Stop it. You and I, unbeknownst to me, just because of my ignorance in the way I do things in life, I didn't realize that I had sort of, I don't know whether it was offended, you know what I mean? But
It wasn't offended.
I know, it's too strong of a word, but yeah. I did something that you took as, whoa, hurtful to our relationship.
Yeah, okay? It broke trust on my side.
Right,
yeah.
Right. And I was just ignorantly, you know, and then I tried to move forward in, you know, in connecting with the show and stuff, and you were rightfully a little protective of that. I'm not sure I want to go there again with Drew, but the reason I'm bringing this up is because of the way we moved through that.
Absolutely.
I think I want to bring this up because I want to talk about it because there's a vulnerability here, but I think we did things okay.
I think we did things really well. And in terms of working through it, I mean, we resolved it quickly when we had an opportunity to actually communicate about it.
Right.
Yep. And so, you know, and part of it was, you know about assumptions, right? You know what they do.
I've heard of that.
Right. Yeah.
There's a donkey involved.
Exactly. Yeah. Something like that. And and it's not Balaam's, but it's close. And so, you know, part of it is that you're in the middle of a conversation. Everybody's looking at it from their point of view, and you're hearing things that may or may not be true.
Mm-hmm.
And you think that you've validated what you thought you've heard. And if it's a violation of trust, it creates like, oh, I'm going to just be careful here. And it did that. And it was like, But as soon as we were able to actually talk about it, and it took a little bit of distance to do that, it didn't take but 15 minutes,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel no hesitation and you're in my relationship. In fact, in some respects, because of this kind of a conversation being able to be had, it deepened it.
Mm.
It's like, okay, yeah. Yeah, and I understand, because I've been inside that kind of world where you make an assumption. I don't get hurt by very many things.
Nor do I. But that makes me an ignorant jerk, though. See, I look at things and go, the world around me, and I go, look, I'm a middle-aged, heterosexual, white, North American male.
With more hair than me.
What do I have to be offended about? There's nothing that can offend me. Nothing.
No, that's not true. I bet you when it comes to your children.
No, that's not offend me. If you talk smack about my kids, I'll just mess you up. It's not going to offend me. I'll just hurt you.
Okay. Okay, so where is the tenderness?
There ain't no tenderness.
Yeah.
Tenderness. Give me a break. Let's play that song again. That's the only tenderness thing.
Yeah, well, I'm on my way. Every time I go away.
No, I just don't think, like, I actually am at a point in life where I listen to people's woes when they go on about being offended, and I just roll my eyes so much and go, really?
Yeah.
You're offended? It's the most overused word, especially in talk radio.
Yeah.
Outraged. That's the other one. I can't remember the last time I was outraged.
I can't either. And I don't get offended. But there's a difference between a sense of relationship in which there has been something that creates some mistrust.
Sure.
That's not offense.
No, that's right. And that's why you and I both hesitated at that word of, you know, offended you. Because it wasn't an offending thing.
Yeah.
So I'm glad we brought this up because I guess, you know, why you bring this up, Drew, it's kind of insider talk. I want people to hear that, you know, two guys that actually give a holy grunt about each other can misunderstand stuff, can be insensitive, and another person interprets, and then you hear it. And I hope you heard from me, Paul, that I totally saw where this was coming from, understood it, put the magnifying glass on myself, and was authentically apologetic.
Absolutely. There's no question in my mind whatsoever.
Because sometimes in my business, with my personality, even my size, 6'4", 240, and my, you know, mouthiness or whatever, people think that I would never be remorseful or apologetic. I would dig my heels in. Basically, the reason I'm bringing this conversation up is I want people to see the tender side of me.
Well, there you go. Well, now that that's passed.
Yeah, let's just move on. It's like passing a kidney stone. I think we should play a little clip that we found online. We had it. We paid our research team a lot of money to dig this up. Yeah. And here's a little moment that I thought, wow. It just makes me wonder why so many cool things happen to one person. And I'm a little jealous. Have a listen to this.
No, envious. You're not jealous.
Yeah, okay.
One got you in the game. The other one kept you in the game.
You bet.
All right. Now, Paul, interesting sidelight. Paul, you know, is the son of missionary parents who went to New Guinea and worked for years helping to convert a tribe.
You bet. It's Irian Jaya now, and I was a year old when we moved into what is called Cannibal Valley.
Mm-hmm.
They were Stone Age people.
I know it well.
Never seen white people
before. It's called
before.
The church.
And in fact, it took them about four
Everybody
years to decide that we were even human beings and not moongots, which
no
are
kidding.
Ghosts.
What was the name of the tribe?
Donnie. They were the Donnie tribe.
You didn't see Marie around there, did you?
Oh, Regis.
I know, isn't it?
All right! And how long did you stay there?
We were there for 8 years, so
okay.
It was my first language and
yeah.
My whole culture growing
Can you
up.
Still speak their language?
Oh, yeah.
Say who wants to be a millionaire.
I can't say that. They don't have the idea of a millionaire.
Oh, that's right,
so.
Yeah.
But
final
I can say,
answer.
Ano boga kine baraga.
Which means?
I love you very much.
Oh. Thank you. That's very sweet, Paul.
Regis' eyebrow raises are the best.
Five away from the million, going for 64,000. Let's play.
Now, see, very few people know that this man was on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire,
exactly.
And I've been looking for this clip for a while. Let's see. Here we go.
The island of Hispaniola, Antigua, Jamaica, Dominican Republic, Honduras.
What was the question again, Tim?
What two
it's
places comprise Hispaniola?
I believe it's Honduras, Haiti, and the Dominican Republic. Final answer.
No hesitation.
Not yes, sir!
I tell you, it is a sweatbox in that it's the most nerve-wracking thing I think I've ever done.
Ready to go, Paul? Looking forward to
nervous as all get out. I mean,
$125,000.
By the way, I love the 80s porn star mustache.
Thank you,
there.
thank you.
Here it is, four away from the
trying to be a Russian novelist.
Immediately after Ronald Reagan was shot in 1981.
Yes.
Who declared himself in charge of the White House? Alexander Haig. William French Smith. Tip O'Neill. Casper Weinberger.
Now, you I think you'd take a while on this one.
Do
you
I
not?
Did.
So we'll just bring down the volume a little bit because him pausing and, you know, trying to figure out what he's doing.
There was
here.
A good comment here.
I have a gut feeling, but... Tip O'Neill would love to have been in charge.
Yeah.
That's it.
You know, everything you said in this segment, I was thinking the exact same thing. That line you said about Tip O'Neill was exactly what I was thinking. And my initial gut said...
Alexander Haig.
But I don't know Alexander Haig. I just, that name subconsciously rung a bell in that setting for me.
Yeah.
Was that it for you, too?
Same with me. I was not sure, but there was a sense that if you got a gut feeling about this, go for it.
Do you think that was the Lord?
No, I think it was a gut feeling.
That's a great tweet right there, Paul Young. No, do you think it was the Lord? No, I think it was a gut feeling. It's so good. All right. This is for how much again?
$125,000.
And at that point in your life, because you got 10 times more than that now. At that point in your life.
We had nothing. We were about to pull the kids out of the school that they were in because, and Kim, all Kim said was, make it to $32,000. Just make it to $32,000.
All right, he's locking it in.
Final answer.
Regis has a face of disappointment.
Got it right again.
And then he tricked you.
I know, you know.
So you've now just won $125,000.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time you get it, you don't lose it.
Well, you can drop now back to $32,000. So I've got a lot at risk at this.
Right.
But you get to see the next question first.
Yes.
$250,000 right
now. Now listen to this. Is
yeah.
Awesome.
This is good.
This is like
most
awesome.
Of the asteroids in our solar system orbit in a belt between which two planets? Mercury and Venus. Mars and Jupiter, Saturn and Uranus, Neptune and Pluto.
Okay, pause it. Can you pause it?
Mars and Jupiter.
So what were you thinking when that question came up?
You got to understand something. Go ahead and finish the clip and then let me
you
show
do that.
You
okay, let's finish.
The final answer.
He throws down right away.
You're kidding me.
I'm not.
Get it again.
Now, okay, so.
So now you've won 250 grand.
Yeah. Now, here's what's going on in that question. The day before, and this is the second time I've been on the show because I got on the show and they took a 30-day hiatus after I answered two questions. First time in the history of Who Wants to Be a Millionaire that they took a break so that the crew could take a break, right? So I'm on the show. They're double taping it because they're going to store up 30 days worth of shows so that the crew can finally take a break.
Yeah.
And so I get on the hot seat, answer two questions, have to go back to Portland for 30 days. So, and this show, I've come back, I'm the first one on because
right.
I'm the holdover.
Right.
And so all of this is happening. Well, the day before we left for the second time, we go over to a birthday party for one of Kim's sisters. And Chad, who's our oldest, who's a he's a graduate from Caltech in honors physics.
So right.
He and I were talking about the solar system, of all things. So here's the day before. I'm saying, you know what I love? One of the things I love about our solar system is we've got this humongous planet that's spinning at a high rate of speed with a huge density. It's created this absolutely incredible gravitational field, Jupiter. And as a result, there is this asteroid belt. I'm saying this the day before. So I'm looking at this question, and it's going, between which two planets is there an asteroid belt? Are you kidding me? Right?
That is insane.
It is insane. And so, bam, $250,000.
Okay. Do you think that was God?
You know, I think God is not a CEO that sets up a big plan and then we have to figure out how to fit into it. I think God joins us in the middle of the details of our lives. And I think this is pulling from all kinds of history and background and conversations. I don't see God as a big mechanistic manipulator.
Ooh, a mechanistic manipulator.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, a self-centered...
masochistic moron?
Yeah. What's the other word? Narcissist.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Sycophant?
Okay,
yeah.
Sure.
So I'm thinking that this is much more about participation in relationship. And I'm thinking, he's like, give it your best shot. And I'm going, are you kidding? I just talked to Chad about this.
That's ridiculous.
That's
all right.
Totally
we cool. just have to, let's just, I was going to stop there, but there's another part here that I love, and it's how you get out of this. So this is hilarious. So there's Kim cheering in the background. She's goofy. Who's sitting beside her?
That's her sister on the one side and one of her best friends.
Okay. All right.
Or with her.
So lift it up.
Paul Young has won $250,000. And going to look at the $500,000 question in just a moment. Boy, you pulled that one out. What do you want to...
Anyway, then you explain that.
Explain
okay.
Jupiter,
we'll
yeah.
finish it. We'll finish it there. Thanks, Tim. We'll just kill it. So, but it's funny. As soon as they show you the final question, you go, I'm out of here.
Exactly. Now, if I'd have been really gutsy at that point, in those 30 days, I'd watched a lot of the shows.
Okay.
Right? And I'd come to the belief that every time you hit 200 or 125,000 and above, the answer was B.
Really?
Every time I'd watched a show in those 30 days, it was B. And I'm thinking, this would be the one time it's not B.
Oh, was it?
Yes.
It wasn't B.
It was.
Oh, it was B.
It was
no.
B. Yeah. But you know what? Who cares?
No.
Right? And what's really cool is that they didn't take the taxes out and stuff. 2 weeks later, I go to the credit union because I got a check for $250,000. And so I go to the credit union. Everybody in the credit union knows about this because it's all over town, right?
Right.
So I go in there and I deposit this thing and I run around to the ATM, which I still have the ATM slip that says $250,034.17.
That's funny.
Isn't that great? It's like, come on.
That's
now
really...
I had to pay taxes, which in Oregon, you know, they got state and federal. But
yeah,
hey,
sure.
You know, there's
fantastic.
Worse problems.
Unbelievable. Folks, so we are in the studio sharing some great times on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire with the one and only Paul Young, author of The Shack and Crossroads. And, you know, he is a friend of the show, but he has become a friend to so many. He's just ultra relational, and I don't know how he does it. It's just got to be draining. There's got to be times where you hop on the boat and go away from people.
There are.
A la Jesus.
Yeah, you know, kind of, there are. And it's, I just trust that it'll get built into the process. You know, the single biggest thing that has helped me in all of this is really being able to stay inside just the grace of one day. Everything else to me is imagination. And I spent most of my life future tripping is the term that I like. You know, creating imaginations based on fear, like, what if I lose my job? Or how many times do I, you know, can I imagine myself at my own funeral?
We can all relate to that, can we not?
Yeah, yeah. And I really believe I'm at a place where you cannot stay inside the grace of a day unless you actually trust. And because you're going to be driven back toward control. And staying inside the grace of the day, you get grace for one day. Sufficient to the day is the grace. And I'm going, okay, I got enough grace for today, whatever the day holds. And it has suited me just fine. Hmm. It's when I try to expend it on imaginations that don't even exist that I get all exhausted.
Do you foresee, that's not even, hold on, how am I going to word this? I'm scared for you is what I'm saying.
And I appreciate that. One is you don't know who I'm married to, really. I mean, she is a powerhouse. And I've got friends around me who aren't impressed and tell me the truth. And I love that I have those. And I can understand.
Have you ever smelled a breakdown?
In this process?
Have you caught the whiff of a breakdown in the last 5 years?
No. Nope. And I've been looking for it. Kim's been looking for it. My friends are looking for it.
Okay.
And so it's not like we're stupid about it.
Do you have any predisposed sort of genetic issues in regards to mental health?
Some of my family, my cousin Jennifer, who struggled with schizophrenia her whole life, took her own life in last December. And so we've got some of that. And I've toyed with it in terms of some of my history, just because when you're trying to justify your behavior, sometimes you have to alter reality a little bit in order to justify yourself. Hmm. So I know that I've got that capacity.
What about the abuse background that you have? Is it, you know, could you foresee that being a launching pad into some mental health issue here?
Yeah, yeah.
Folks, you're going to realize why I'm going on about this, because I want to bring in to the conversation at this point, actually, Mark Vanderveen, and he is the executive director of Shalem Mental Health Network. Shalem has partnered with us before. We've had Mark on the show before. And I got to say, with mental health people, professionals, I either love them or am terrified of them and want them to go away. I just find them potentially the most dangerous people in the world.
Yeah.
And Mark is the easy to put him in the category of love.
Next to religious leaders.
Yes. Yes. Mark, anyway, that was a weird segue. How you doing, Mark?
I'm great, Drew. Maybe I'm not doing my job.
No, you're good value. I want to throw out this invite here to everyone right away. One of the reasons Paul is here is because, folks, you are invited to join Paul Young and recording artist Jacob Moon, who's a favorite on our show, at Shalem Mental Health Network's 50th anniversary, 50 years of restoring hope. Paul is going to speak about the gospel and mental health tonight at 7:30 at People's Church, not the one in Toronto, but People's Church in Hamilton. So I would assume it's, I don't know whether you can still phone the number or can you just show up, Mark? What do you say to someone who's hearing this?
You can just show up. We have tickets at the door.
Okay.
Yeah.
How much are they?
They are $30.
Okay, and what's that going to get you? If I shell out $30, I want to know what I'm going to get.
What you're going to get is wonderful music by Jacob Moon.
That's actually worth $30 right there, Paul. You can just go home.
Hey, I agree.
I'm home. Just, yeah.
And really looking forward to a reflection from Paul on the gospel and mental health.
Have you prepared that yet, Paul?
You know me. I have no idea what I'm going to say.
He's writing it on a napkin at lunch.
Oh, no. Yeah. I don't even get that far.
Not even that far. Yeah. Cut to the chase, Mark. Is there food?
There is food.
Okay. All right.
There is food. We'll also talk a little bit about Shalem in our 50 years, but that's maybe 10 minutes.
Good. So is this a bit of a fundraiser as well?
Yes. There's also that aspect to it. There's an opportunity to support Shalem.
Excellent.
But that's that's a small and contained aspect of the evening.
You know, again, I don't know how to say this without it sounding like a sales pitch or that he's paid for this, but I really have the utmost respect for your organization, the way you do things, the way you love on those that need loving, and yet the rest of the world shuns. You guys are rock stars at that. So thanks, Mark.
Thank you, Drew. That's wonderful.
Now, when it comes to mental health and Jesus stuff and church people and, you know, the whole thing, are we making any headway, or are we still subconsciously shunning those with mental health issues? And maybe not even subconsciously.
I think, you know what, Drew, I think we are making some headway. I think there's less stigma about it than there used to be in Christian circles. But it's very much there. There's no question. You know, for me, Jesus calls us to follow him. And for me, that means we follow him to where he has already gone and continues to go, which is to the margins of our society and our communities and the margins of our own hearts, where pain happens and hurt. That's where Jesus is, and that's where he's beckoning us from. And I think, you know, more and more Christians are hearing that call, and there's less fear about it. I mean, it's still there, but I think we're heading in the right direction.
This is not the strongest example I could give, but I was just speaking with Rabbi Zacharias the other day. He was in town for a luncheon, and RZIM Canada invited me to go to this thing. And anytime there's free food, I'm there. And I was chatting with Mrs. Zacharias. What a lovely lady. I mean, again, the women behind you nut jobs that travel around and...
Hey, men don't have much of a choice but to marry up. So.
Oh, seriously. Anyway, I was sharing with her, Ravi has a relative that pastors at a church here in Toronto, Cinder, I can't remember his last name. Anyway, I was visiting this church.
Yeah.
And this guy was up there, soft-spoken, smaller, you know, Indian fellows chatting away. And it was fine. It was an evening service, you know, maybe 50 people in the room. All of a sudden, the guy in the front row stands up, screams at the pastor, screams at the congregation, and runs out.
Huh.
Warning people of this, that. I can't remember what he said. I just remember that this guy was mentally unstable, for sure. For sure. And Cinder just kind of paused, let him do his thing, and just said, okay, you know, obviously, we, you know, that was a bit distracting. We need to keep this guy in our prayers, but let's continue on. 2 minutes later, this guy comes running back into the church directly at the pastor, full steam. And I'm on the aisle, and I'm ready to, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'm ready to jump out and be a hero. It never happens. God never lets me be a hero. He knows I'll screw it up somehow, you know.
You're a hero to me, Drew.
I'll give someone a Heimlich maneuver, and they weren't even choking or something, you know. Anyway, this guy does a Superman dive right in front of the pastor, prone position, lays on the floor asking for forgiveness. Cinder comes down, he says to the congregation, you know, 50 people, excuse me just for a second, puts his arms around the guy, loves on him, brings him over to the pew on the side, and just sits and talks with him, as opposed to going, can we get someone to deal with this while I finish the message, please?
Wow. Yeah.
And yeah. That is
so impressive.
That is how I feel about Shalem Mental Health Network. All of that is to say that is what you guys do day in and day out.
That's beautiful. I love that story and that image. I mean, that's acting as Christ would, right? Yeah.
I guess in regards to the mental health issue, what do you say, Mark, to somebody who's listening right now who's had someone say to them, okay, there's mental health issues that you're dealing with. You really just need to bind the spirits. Satan has gotten a hold of you. Stop taking your medication and lean on the Lord.
Yeah, that's a very destructive thing to say because, and I have found this in the Christian community, that sort of attitude only adds to the burden. You know, now not only are you depressed or you're dealing with some kind of mental illness, but to add on top of that, you're a failure because you're not a good Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And so all that does is have the effect of leaving the person that much further alone, and maybe even doubting, questioning their own faith, their own connection to God. It's way more complex than that. We would like to have simple answers, that it just takes more faith or whatever, but... I mean, the evidence is overwhelming that there are all kinds of factors that play into that really aren't about faith. It's like saying to someone, if you have cancer or you have heart problems, just give it over to God and stop taking your medication or your chemo or whatever.
Hmm. Paul, in your journeys and travels, you know, there are shack lovers around the world, and they line up at these venues, and then I can't even get up to say hello to you. I got to just pinch you in the bum and leave, which I've done. And
I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. And there are some people, come on, you know this, there are some people that line up,
yep.
And as soon as they get to you, there's got to be something inside of you goes, ooh, there's something wrong with this person.
Well, of course. But you know what? There's something wrong with all of us. I mean, I have not yet a perfect person in front of me yet. And I'll let you know you weren't it. Sorry.
Just,
and
thought this was a setup for encouragement, but no.
No, it's a setup for reality.
Yeah.
So, but you know, when I look at that person, I see the one that Jesus left the 99 to go find.
Yeah, but you can do that. You could be all nice in the moment and stuff. But when they're in your family, when they're in your neighborhood, they are a pain in the butt.
You know what? But again, what are we dealing with? People, do we have a high view of humanity? Do we have a low view of humanity? And I think God has a very high view of humanity. I think that's one of the disconnects with modern Western evangelical Christianity, is we assume that the greatest, deepest truth about somebody is their depravity, and then we try to build on top of that.
But most of us are not in a place where we are healthy enough emotionally, spiritually, physically, whatever, all the things. We're not healthy enough to be a leaning post, a constant leaning post for that person with the mental illness in our lives.
Well, part of it is you have to recognize that you can't heal anybody or save anybody. It's not your job. I don't have the job of trying to heal or save anybody. Now, as I was growing up in the church, I thought I did. I thought leadership was those who healed people and saved people.
Yeah.
I can't do that. But I can be present. And you know what? And we'll deal with how this plays itself out. One of the things that Mark does and his organization does that is so good is that they're going to join people in the middle of that journey, and it's going to be dictated by where that person is at. And so there may be a real focus on breaking the poverty cycle or on the meds or on something. But it's going to be the uniqueness of that person. I think part of our issue is that we don't understand how incredibly intricate a human soul is.
Huh.
And it's going to take a whole gamut plus the wisdom of God in terms of the presence of the Holy Spirit to even begin to understand. How do you unravel the damage that is so unique to the uniqueness of this person's soul?
Mark, you've been listening quietly and patiently like a good counselor would. Anything you want to add to that?
The only thing I'd add is you're not meant to do it alone.
Correct.
Just like people aren't meant to go through a dark valley alone, you're not meant to be the sole or lone caregiver or the person there for them.
And you have just hit on a huge point there. How much ego is there actually involved in the helping industry?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, I say to people, you know, all therapists go into the profession in order to deal with their own stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And the good ones are the ones who know that, and the bad ones are the ones who don't.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is wrapped up in this kind of, sometimes we can have a sort of hero impulse to be helpful to people, but it's really masking a whole bunch of stuff that we would rather not look at ourselves.
I'm just wondering, like, please don't take this the wrong way, Mark, but I would like for Shalem Mental Health Network to be shut down because the church was doing its job.
Absolutely. I would be all in favor of that. And a lot of what we do is we try to build up and equip and empower communities to effectively and genuinely, you know, look after the needs of those who are most vulnerable within them. And if we can do that, if communities can do that, then we're done. And that would be a glorious day.
Yeah,
I want to interject one thing here. I think Shalem Mental Health Network is an expression of the church doing its job. I don't want to make that distinction between.
All right, fair enough.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah, that was better than what I said. You're a jerk.
Thank you, but it's a jerk who loves you.
Oh, shut up. This is just getting mushy. This moment brought to you by Hallmark here on the Drew Marshall Show. Paul Young in the studio with us. He's got to take off to this great event here. I just want to run it by everybody one more time. Paul Young, in case you don't know, is the guy who wrote The Shack and Crossroads, and he is going to be the keynote speaker. Ooh, that just sounds boring. He's going to be the guy relating to everybody at this event tonight.
It's a minor key.
That's good. That's nice. Also, Jacob Moon, who has been on our show many, many times, will be performing tonight. There'll be some sustenance there as well, from what I hear. The Gospel and Mental Health, that's tonight, 7:30 p.m. at People's Church, Hamilton, not People's Church, Toronto. And you can just show up at the door and Google it. By the way, let's throw out a little address here. Where is this at? Do you know, Mark?
Yes, I do. It's 510 Mohawk Road West in Hamilton.
510 Mohawk Road West. That's really unfair for us guys with no hair to be in that area. We have the reverse Mohawk, really, don't we?
Yeah.
Will there be a time to, I don't know, shake hands, do it as Winona Judd calls it, a shake and howdy with Paul Young? Will there be time? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because people really want to meet this guy. They think he's something special.
They want hugs.
You were just, okay, here's another quick story before we move on here. Paul and I were doing a satellite radio show. We were going to do it from my house because he was in the area doing some deal. That was the night I dropped out.
Yeah, I know, at the Bates Motel. I remember that.
Anyway, and Paul was late, so I started this interview. Paul walks into the house, doesn't knock, you know, nothing. Walks in, my daughter standing there going, hello? Walks right up, gives her a big hug. Luckily, you know, fortunately, my daughter's not as nuts as I am. She still remembers this stranger coming into the house, giving her a hug. But yeah,
I heard the same thing last night. A buddy of mine, we were both dropping our kids off at youth group, and said, "Oh, I hear you're going to see Paul Young tonight." Well, I've just come back, you know, to pick up the kids, and he just came up and hugged me.
Really,
you know, the world just last night. The world needs
last
more
night.
Hugs.
The
I'm
world
telling you,
needs now is
more hugs.
Thugs, more thugs.
One of you is good enough.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you to both of you. Seriously, if I was stuck in a desert island with two great guys, it would be both you two. Not you, Tim.
Thank you.
It would be Paul Young and Mark from Shalane Mental Health. Mark, thanks for joining us, buddy.
Thank you, Drew. I really appreciate it.
Hope tonight goes well.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. Paul?
Yes, bud.
All the best.
And you too.
The
visits, you know, I love you.
Seems short, but appropriate.
Well, thanks. You know, the worse the weed, the taller it grows.
Yeah. What's next, by the way?
I've got a bunch of projects, writing projects that I'm working on. A science fiction, historical fiction, and then some other things I'm playing with. So we'll see. I don't know. I could be dead by tomorrow. So I'm staying inside the grace of today. You know, you never know. Some cell can go sideways.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
All right. Take care, buddy. And thanks. Thanks
You're
for
welcome.
Dropping by. I really appreciate it. Folks, a short break on our show. Stay with us.
And now, here's your host, board-certified circumcision reattachment specialist, Drew Marshall.
It's hard to find quality guest speakers these days. If they're interesting, they're usually expensive. And if they're cheap, they're usually boring. Well, here's someone who's both expensive and boring. Drew Marshall is a high school dropout who tried to become a pro football player but didn't make it. He then tried to become a firefighter and didn't make it. Now he's trying to become a stand-up comic. Good luck with that, Mr. Marshall. But if you're looking for someone who's unpredictable, incredibly honest, provocative, genuine, then we've got the right guy. Everyone seems to be an expert on something these days. Why not book someone who's an expert on nothing, except how to be brutally honest about yourself and your faith? To book Drew Marshall as your guest speaker, go to drewmarshall.ca.